This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week we're talking with George Stelluto from the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. Their next concert, Allure of Paris, is tomorrow night at Grace Presbyterian Church. George, so good to see you.
Hi again. It's good to be here.
As you might expect from the name of the concert, there are a trio of pieces by French composers, all of them active at the turn of the century, so Debussy, Fauré, and Ravel. Mm-hmm. It seems like France, and Paris in particular, was really a hotbed of musical activity at that time. So do these pieces reflect everything that was going on there?
Well, it's interesting. Actually, France, Paris especially, has always been a hotbed of musical activity for almost every century that you can think of. But at the end of the 19th century, early 20th century, it really was the place to be. A lot of American composers were, you know, the expatriate American composers were going to Paris to study with Nadia Boulanger and other teachers and composers. And so it just became this place that was attracting people around that time.
Copland was in Paris,
yes,
in the 20s, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because we know that Copland studied with Nadia Boulanger, but we don't know that Burt Bacharach also studied with Nadia Boulanger.
And one of those pieces is the Ravel, the Mother Goose Suite. It's a fantastic piece, and also it has its roots in the ballet, like I think a lot of French music of that era does.
Absolutely. It's a wonderfully simple but profound piece. Mozart wrote it originally as a two-piano piece for two children, and they actually played the premiere of it, and then he orchestrated it. And, you know, his statement, he said once that he wants his music to be heard as if it comes about by a miracle. And if you hear Ravel Mother Goose, you understand what he's talking about.
Then I wonder if this is what a musician meant. He said, after 40 years of performing this piece, 16 minutes in, I still get tears in my eyes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the first time I heard this piece, I thought I was just going to melt away. That's ending the program, and that's a fantastic way to end a quick weekend trip to Paris, if you will.
Another piece on the program is the Viola Concerto by Gösta Nyström, a Swedish composer that I think a lot of people haven't heard much about. But he actually lived in Paris around the World War II era. So does this concerto is this his homage to that city?
Yeah, actually the piece is subtitled Hommage à la France. And what's interesting about this is that a lot of people won't know this piece, and a lot of people have not heard this piece before because this will be the American premiere of the full version of it. I wanted Kate, our principal violist, to do a concerto with us, and I was talking to her last year, and we were going through different ideas, and I had this idea for this kind of French concert. And I didn't want to do any of the big concertos, the Walton or the Bartok, and I didn't want to do any of the Baroque or early classical concertos. And I was looking around, and I just kind of stumbled upon this concerto. And I listened to it, and I sent it to Kate, and she was like, oh, my gosh, this is great. And nobody knows about this. I was at Ravinia all summer. Members of the viola section of the Chicago Symphony were like, what is this concerto? I've never heard of this guy. And literally, what's funny about the Allure of Paris in this case is that he was studying in Germany. He was studying 12-tone and serial techniques in Germany. And a friend of his was in Paris and wrote to him and said, what are you doing in Germany? Paris is the place to be. Get here now. And he moved to Paris. He studied there in the late 20s. And then he went back to Sweden. But he remembered fondly his days there. And so this viola concerto is kind of a homage to that time, and it shows the influence that a city can have on a composer.
So why do you think that this concerto has been out there for 60, 70 years and just hasn't been getting much attention?
Well, it's interesting. It was written in 1944, and he was in Sweden, so it was still during the war. And you know, who knows why things get neglected after that time period. But there, I think there was a recording of it done last spring, and so that's finally out. And we're just fortunate that we were able to get it here before anybody else.
Just like you have guest artists come in from all over the world, sometimes all over the country, is it an honor, too, when someone from the orchestra itself, like Catherine Lewis, is a principal
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have Kate is playing the Nistrum, and Nicole Lukes, our harpist, is playing this Debussy Sacred and Profane Dances. And, you know, it's great when you can feature members of the orchestra that are they have been, you know, tried and true members. They're, you know, season in and season out. They're playing, they're performing, they're bringing their artistry to the stage. And I think it's right, and it's a great honor and an exciting opportunity to feature them with the orchestra so that, you know, our audience can hear, wow, these are the people that play in the orchestra, and we hear them en masse, if you will, during a concert, but now we get to hear a few of them as a soloist.
And another piece on the program is one of Mozart's Paris Symphonies, a piece that he wrote because he was going to Paris and he wanted something to perform while he was there. And it reminds me that Mozart was a working, traveling musician for much of his life. He'd play in France, he'd play in around Austria and Germany. But did he write his symphonies differently when he knew that he was going to Paris and he'd be playing and conducting for audiences there?
Well, this particular symphony he wrote in a particular way because he wrote it for a particular orchestra, and it was a very virtuoso orchestra in Paris. And there was a certain style, musical style in Paris, where the orchestra would all play the same note to open a piece. And so it was everybody was playing in unison, and they would play like a little melody, but it would all be in unison and very, very energetic. So he imitated that style and even parodied it a little bit because he opens the last movement not with that style. He opens it with a little violin duet between the two violin sections, and then you get the kind of unison statement of a theme. And he actually wrote to his father. He said, you know, that in the opening of the last movement, I had scored it for just two violins and in duet, and the audience gasped when they heard it. But then they all applauded loudly when they finally heard the big unison statement afterward. So he was kind of playing with the audience a little bit. He was intimidated by that orchestra because they all wore swords when he showed up, and it was it was a little bit of an odd situation for him. And it was a very successful symphony. It's full of vigor and charm, and it's very exciting, but and then very charming at the same time. But he was nervous about the premiere of it, even though it was very well received. And he wrote to his father and said, you know, after the premiere, I went to the Palais Royal and I had an ice cream and I said the rosary as I had promised to do.
Talk about your trip to Paris, which inspired the music and actually the theme for the concert.
Well, I studied in France for a month before going on to Munich to study one summer. And I just was completely charmed by the whole experience there. I had wonderful friends that had set up the whole trip for me. It was a string quartet from Paris that's still playing. They're still an existing professional quartet in Europe, and they were living with me for a year at Yale, and then they went back and they set up some residencies and some study for me in Amiens, which is outside of Paris, and then also in Paris. And it was a real adventure because literally the whole thing came down. I got 2 weeks' notice. I had to go to a special passport agent office to get a passport that quickly. My parents were freaking out because I didn't have any money. And I said, oh, I'll worry about where I'm going to stay when I get there, and I just need to go. And so it was a very exciting trip, and I learned a lot about French culture, and the warmth of reception that I got there just made me fall in love with the city and the culture.
This concert kind of gives you musical looks at Paris over the span of about 200 years. Is there a distinctive Parisian approach to making music? Is there a Paris sound?
You could say that, but I would say that it's mostly reflective of the culture. I mean, we've got a beautiful piece, Fauré Masques and Bergamasques, which is based on some French poetry about the fête galante at the time, where, you know, members of high society would go out into nature and they'd have these elaborate picnics and shows and put on these kind of productions amongst themselves. And then Debussy's kind of celebration of both the sacred and profane. I mean, the French culture is very ebullient and very charming, and sometimes it's aloof, and sometimes it's, sometimes it's very passionate, but there's always this depth about it that you have to kind of look further to see, even beyond a very deep impression. There's always something below the surface that's even deeper, and I think that all of these composers kind of capture that in a way, especially the Ravel and the Debussy and the Fauré. Again, just the absolute charm of it is going to just sweep you up. And so we start with a very charming picnic out in the French countryside with members of high society, and we end with a wonderful set of nursery rhymes as seen through the prism of a great composer like Maurice Ravel.
George Stiluto is the music director of the Peoria Symphony Orchestra, and we've been talking about their upcoming concert, Allure of Paris, tomorrow night at 8 at Grace Presbyterian Church. George, thank you for being with us again.
Thank you.
And Nathan, tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to noon, the main branch of the Peoria Public Library hosts Ibi Elo, Arts Ambassador from Nigeria to the United Nations. The public is invited to meet with and hear the heartwarming stories of Nigeria's most charming artist and arts ambassador.
And Peoria Players Theater is continuing its season with the musical Meet Me in St. Louis. The musical is actually based on the film from the 1940s, not the other way around. And it tells the story of a family in St. Louis at about the time of the 1904 World's Fair. It's one of those musicals where as you're sitting through the show, you encounter songs that you know and have loved for a long time, and you say, oh, I didn't realize this song was associated with this musical. Performances begin tonight and continue through Sunday, the 18th.
Out and About is a production of WCBU Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Stephanie Sobey. If you'd like to learn more about Peoria Public Radio, visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.